With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watch you struggle and I watch you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Deer and Hare Stadium time is 8:55 p.m. Central. You are turned into the Orange Crew podcast. My name is Ryan Starrett. At Ryan S. Starrett on Twitter, and since I'm running the show tonight, I just want to let you know that the Hawks won the trade. Joining me with that sweet Fort Payne ASMR, your source for all Star Wars news and takes, is Chief. How's it going, Chief?
Well, sure.
Crow is doing family things tonight, I think. Just unpacking from vacation, so we are running the ship.
It's a shame. We had a lot of pre-Euros talk. The Euros start in 2 days.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I figured we'd just talk about Bad Batch tonight.
Well, we can do that, too.
I don't know. It was kind of slow getting going the first couple episodes, but I think this last week kind of set the stage for where they're going with the show. I'm happy.
Yeah, it was pretty good. The animation is incredible. It's crazy to see. It's because it is the same animation, more or less, that was used on Clone Wars, and now that they've advanced it to this point. And I'm glad to see that Disney embraced that, because they went away with it from it with Rebels, and they sort of bent it off when they got it. They just said, we're done with Clone Wars, it's over. But it's one of the best looking animated shows, which is hilarious, because when the Clone Wars first aired, it was more or less, people just made fun of it because it looked weird and bad, and the range of emotions they can do with it now with facial expressions and stuff like that, which they could not do for the longest time with Clone Wars, is crazy. And it visually, it's a great looking show.
I've watched all of the Clone Wars, Rebels, and now Bad Batch within the last year.
Yep.
Seeing all of that with, no time in between, it's pretty stunning how far they've been and how bad it was to start with.
Yeah.
But even with the last arc of Clone Wars, I watched that stitched together with episode 3.
Yeah.
So kind of going back and forth. And it was easy enough to just forget that one was animated and one wasn't.
Yeah. Well, and the show is all talking about this like it is the Clone Wars. It basically is. The Clone Wars has always looked good with vehicle shots, space shots, stuff like that. Yep. That's always looked really good. And now everything else is sort of caught up to that, which is pretty cool. Like you said, the show's a little slow, and I'm not super into this idea. I would have been happier if this was just an A-Team kind of show. They just did mini adventures every week. And
They seem to be focusing on Omega and wherever that's going to go, which I don't think that's how they marketed it.
Not at all. I don't think we have to say Omega. I think that's just the New Zealand the Kiwi pronunciation of Omega. It's pretty cool. I do not like that weapon they gave her. It's even worse than Ezra's lightsaber slingshot.
Worse than the helicopter lightsabers.
Worse. The helicopter lightsabers are all right. I mean, they make sense. They make sense in some way. That thing I didn't like too much. I don't like the two sisters either. I was like, not these people, really. Oh my god. But they didn't. I thought they were gonna ruin the episode, because I thought that arc with them in the last season of Clone Wars was horrible. like the worst thing, one of the worst things that Clone Wars.
So, yeah, a lot of people got mad at that. And I'm guessing it's probably because if you were invested in the Clone Wars for several years, you didn't want that to be one part.
Yeah.
As someone who, like, you know, I watched it all at the same time, so it,
sure,
I didn't really feel like, oh, it's ending. So I don't think it's that bad. But.
Well, anyway. They're back. But I did like, you know, the latest episode was pretty good, and it's leading into other things other than setup. It feels like there's just going to be more and more stuff. So
you can kind of see the groundwork now of not just character development, but plot lines that they can carry out.
Right.
All right. Well, we don't have to go too deep into that. Just want to. Now that Crow wasn't here tonight, we had some time.
Yeah, well, go watch The Bad Batch on Disney Plus. It's
And Loki coming out this week.
Yeah, Loki's out.
Probably by the time you hear this, it will be out.
Yeah, if we're going by our the schedule we've had lately, the day after Loki comes out, probably. But you're probably not listening. No one's listening to this anyway because the new Hardcore History dropped minutes ago. Seems so.
If you're listening to us instead of Hardcore History, I'm flattered. Two, you might be crazy. I don't know.
Well, maybe they're just taking a break from their 5-hour podcast, just in the middle, inserting.
We're the halftime show.
Yeah, something that's definitely not as good that you can go and get a hot dog and not miss anything while you're listening to it.
We're the bathroom break of Hardcore History.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So let's get into the little bit of news we have from, I guess, the past 2 weeks, because we missed you guys last week. Previously, we had Nerd on to talk to us about some transfers coming in, and guys that have already signed, so maybe some potential guys. This past week, we got Jordan Ingram, running back from Central Michigan, played at St. Paul's in Mobile, which, if I understand correctly, is a pretty big program down there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where
did John Davis play there?
I think AJ McCarron went there too. Okay. If you know anyone from Mobile that didn't go there, they all hate everyone that went there. So
is this like the Mountain Brook of Mobile or?
I mean it's a private school, so it's they recruit and they do all kinds of crazy stuff and are pretty good at everything as a result. So
Ingram,
they also have fraternities and sororities.
Wait, what? Sorry, yeah, you got me hooked there. What is that about?
Sorry, it's weird.
Instead of Greek life, though, is it Roman life? Because it's Catholic.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. That's something I encountered. I guess my second year of school here at Auburn. So this would have been spring of 2003. And it was the most bizarre thing I'd ever heard. And they were acting like it was normal. And it's not just exclusive to St. Paul's, I don't think. I think it's
a Mobile thing.
It's a Mobile thing, yeah. Maybe just with private schools, or I don't really know. No one that I knew that went to Davidson was involved in this sort of thing. But
I think Zach Webster, if you're listening, you're our Mobile guy. So tell us about that.
Yeah. Somebody hit us up with the Mobile sorority fraternity thing. Maybe it's no longer a thing. I don't know. I am ancient, so.
Is there a Mobile machine working down there?
Yeah.
All right. So Ingram, though, played at St. Paul's in Mobile, was All-State senior high school. Had some interest from a bunch of Power Five programs. I think like Auburn and LSU looked at him, but he was kind of lower on the list and just didn't make it from a numbers perspective. So went up Central Michigan, didn't play last year, so he'll have all this eligibility left. You don't expect any running backs coming in right now to get a ton of snaps behind Tank, but good depth considering the limited numbers we have there.
You think this is a Coach Korn pickup?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think he had interest in Auburn already. So when he hit the portal, I'm not sure who was recruiting him. I mean, he's got the competition. I mean, he's played a lot of the guys that he'll be playing with at Auburn now. And it's good. We've seen this already with Marcus Harris, the defensive lineman from Kansas, who is from Montgomery, of Auburn going out and getting some local kids, trying to bring them back home, maybe set up some inroads for recruiting in the future.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Real nice. Yeah.
So on the basketball front, we had a transfer who is no longer coming to Auburn after some drama the last week or so about is he going to make it? Is he not? Desi Sills, after some, I don't want to call him academic issues because it's not like he was like failing classes or anything.
Yeah.
But just Auburn doesn't offer his major, and so a lot of his credits weren't going to transfer here. And it's, I've seen the question of like, oh, why doesn't he just pick a different major? But with him being a senior, if he changed majors at this point, the way I understand it, is that he would fall behind like the NCAA graduation progress.
I have a lot of questions around this. One, what are they teaching in Arkansas? That
my first thought is that Arkansas is just a low level JUCO at this point.
Yeah. Well, my what I thought might be the deal when this first like kind of got floated around is that they've got athletes taking a bunch of independent study courses, and that's why it wouldn't transfer over.
Yeah.
Auburn has plenty of majors. Like, they have just general studies, basically. And he could have gotten that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe everything's in one thing and they couldn't have, like, maybe all of those classes are in one major, one specific thing, and it wouldn't qualify. Like, he hasn't taken a bunch, like, any math or any English or any science or history or whatever it is that would have disqualified him. But that does seem to be the thought there, is that it wouldn't, he would have fallen behind the NCAA's on track to graduate.
Yeah. So I mean, like, I'm looking, I'm trying to find his major, what it was in Arkansas, but I do see that he made department honor roll for a GPA over 3.0 last year.
Yeah.
SEC honor roll in the spring. So like, I don't think it was a grades issue. It was just transferring credits.
Here's the question: is Arkansas accredited? is that what's going on here? It stinks for the guy because he clearly wanted to come.
He clearly wanted to be here. Yeah.
And you know, it's a loss for Auburn. He's a good player. He's now going to end up at Arkansas State, I think, is what we found out today as we were
playing. He's from Jonesboro, I think. So
yeah, well, that's cool. You know, it stinks. We're now without another body, which would...
Unfortunate that we don't have Trey Alexander still on board. But
yeah, we do have KD Johnson, though. So
yeah, I am excited about KD. I'm curious what this does to the depth chart, though. Because, I mean, you have to have another guard.
Yeah.
Right now, you only have three natural guards. And
well, it's going to be Flanagan, unfortunately.
Right. But if Flanagan's your starting three, is he getting minutes at the two? Or is Cambridge going to move over? Well,
yeah.
Bruce surprises with just, you know, a Javon McCormick type pickup that no one's heard of.
Well, Jalen needs to run the point.
Well, you know, I'm on board there.
And then we move all these other guys down into the other the two and the three.
I've been on the record for a while that I think Jabari could play the three, and that frees up playing to play the two. But not everybody agrees with that. So we'll see how it works out. I mean, we haven't even gotten into summer practices or anything, so they've got plenty of time to sort it out.
It's true, and I think everyone is on campus except for KD Johnson already. So
I believe so. Yeah,
that's pretty good. You know, I'm not. It's not a deal breaker. It just kind of. It's another. We're down a body, and with Thor being gone for sure now, which I think we all pretty much knew was going to happen. You know, it's a little bit more of a challenge for Bruce now, and it's a different challenge than he was going to have, where he was going to have too many guys in the same position. So.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely hurts the depth, just because at this rate, if you have a guard injury, you're kind of thin there now. I am kind of wondering if this opens the door for our favorite walk-on, Leor Berman, to become a scholarship player. He's always at 11 right now. I think...
Will he be a junior this year? I mean, he'll be whatever he wants to be, I guess, because he got a free year this last year.
Let's see. He was a sophomore this past season.
Okay, so he'll be a sophomore. We've got to come up... They've got to come up with a term for... I guess a COVID sophomore is what it'll be this next year. Is that?
Yeah,
I
mean, for the seniors, they're calling them super seniors.
Okay, so I'm super not sure. Sophomore.
Yeah.
COVID, you know, brings up some morbid thoughts, I guess. But I mean, that's basically what they are. Is COVID, whatever.
So. Well, that's going to be interesting. Cause, I mean, it's with guys that were, you know, freshmen this past year. That's you're going to be thinking about what their eligibility is 5 years from now.
Yeah, and I, you know.
Like, Dylan Cardwell played 60 seasons. You were a redshirt season or something like that.
I think in basketball, you're not really going to see that be much of a problem because most guys by the fourth year, they're going to go play in Europe or, you know, they'll go try to make money somewhere. Football is where it'll be really interesting, and even some of the other sports, baseball, you stick around, maybe you're really good that sixth year and you get drafted, whereas maybe you wouldn't the year before or something like that. So
you think about it, I mean, it opens the door for a 24-year-old playing against 18-year-olds that, like, that's not like they, you know, it's not like a BYU player that was doing the mission for a couple of years. It's this guy's been playing in a college system for 5 years at this point. Yeah, look, so it's unfortunate. Hated for Desi. Happy he's already found a landing spot. But in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't temper my excitement for this team at all.
Yeah, I'm still excited. I liked him as a player, but he was always going to be a role player on this team, like he was. So it's not. It's not a huge loss.
I would assume he's going to go start at Arkansas State. I don't know the roster.
But. Yeah, I don't either. But one would assume if a guy was getting minutes and had some pretty great performances in the SEC, surely he can go to Arkansas State and do a job.
All right, you want to take a quick commercial break before we get to our, not really game, but our interesting topic of the night?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is brought to you by MeUndies.
What are you talking about? I'm not wearing any MeUndies.
Would we be a MeUndies or a Tommy John's podcast?
Bomba socks.
Manscaped.
I don't think we have the 40 plus crowd listening too much to sell the blue pills too.
Oh yeah, the blue chew. You'd be surprised. The Total Soccer Show, which James Jones and I both listen to, they advertise for blue chew, and they I imagine their set is 40 and under or under 40. So,
all right. Speaking of older people trying to bring back the glory days,
I thought you were going to say speaking of boner pills.
You can talk about it, I guess. I don't know. It's a topic I'm going to call "Back in My Day." So I posed a question on Twitter earlier tonight and just said, if you could bring back something Auburn related from the way it used to be in the past, what would it be? Anything from uniforms, game day experience, tailgating. Just general things about the university, just not specific players. Like, don't say, "Oh, I want Bo back." Or, I want
"Yeah, that's
the easy one."
Right.
Anything else? If you could just make one change of bringing something back. What is it? So I guess the first thing that came to my mind, and it's a question I asked some friends the other day, it was like, what would it take to restart the Georgia Tech rivalry? And it's partially selfish just for me. Like, I know everybody doesn't care about this as much.
Sure.
But I've got a brother who went to Georgia Tech, so it's kind of a family thing. And in my lifetime, we're 0-2 against them. And it's brought up a lot. So they're, I think they're our fourth most played rival, and we've hardly played them in the last 30 years. So, yeah, I'd like to play Georgia Tech again, even if it's not every year, you know, maybe one home and home every decade or something like that.
Right.
Like to see them on schedule again.
Yeah, I mean, that would be fun. It's unfortunate that they are just not really on the level that we are, and so then they become a team that we have to pay to play, basically. That it is unfortunate, and I do wonder if there's hesitancy there because they have won the last two in the last 30 years or whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't really want to think about Reggie Ball anymore. So whatever we got to do to exercise those demons.
Good Lord. Both of those were while I was in school too, which is makes it all worse.
I'm trying to think. I'm not sure if Auburn lost any of their non-con games while I was a student. Let's see, because it was Washington State freshman year, Kansas State sophomore year, and they beat Louisville junior year. Who was the 2016 opponent? Clemson. Okay, they lost that one. 16 and 17, they lost Clemson.
So they lost a bunch while I was in school. They lost to USC twice my first 2 years.
Twice.
And lost to Georgia Tech twice. And
is that first Wazoo game you were there?
Yes.
Like 5 or 6.
06, I think. I think it was my senior year, maybe. Well, no, wait. It might have been 05. I can't remember what year
we
that was.
Played Tech in 05, so I don't know if we doubled up.
I remember exactly where I was sitting, but I don't remember what year that was. This is one of the rare times I sat in the side part of the student section.
I do think it's interesting that it wasn't a home and home with Washington State. Like, we brought them here twice.
Yeah.
It would be hard to get to, but I think it'd be a pretty fun road trip if you go to Pullman.
Yeah. We did beat Syracuse the one time.
2006, by the way.
Yeah, okay. So that was my next to last football season. That's right, folks. I managed to squeeze, 6 football seasons out of my time at Auburn? So,
hold on. Is 2007 in that list?
Yes.
That's not the USF season, is it?
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. I'm pretty sure I was in Birmingham that night. Anyway. Oh, what a time. I managed to squeeze 6 football seasons out of my bachelor's degree. But hey, whatever. Things I would like to bring back. Let's see. I'd love to bring Coyotes back. It hasn't been gone that long, though.
That's a good answer, though. Southeastern is, by the way, if you haven't been there, it's awesome. But
Southeastern.
A lot of people have some good memories of Coyotes. Or non-memories, depending on how you
nothing,
spend your
nothing
there.
Nothing is... Yeah, I've got some great memories from Q. I'd like to bring the trees, the original trees, back.
Yeah, that was a pretty common answer on Twitter.
Mr. Gaddy's would be on my list as well.
It is coming back, isn't it?
It is. It won't be the same. I've been to Mr. Gaddy's since up in Kentucky. It wasn't the same.
So what's the draw for Mr. Gaddy's? Because I've never even heard of it until I saw they were building.
It's a pizza buffet, and the way it was when I was in school, I lived right next door to it. It was in that Northcutt Realty building that was and if anybody that's been around here a little longer, they'll remember it being in a different place too, but it was in that what's now a Northcutt Realty building,
kind of behind the hotel.
Yeah it's right beside the Commons,
okay,
which is no longer called the Commons. I don't know what it's called. But it it was right in there. It was dark. it was I don't know what that building was before. If anybody knows what was there before, I want to say it was kind of looks like a Hardee's, but I don't think it was a Hardee's because there's no drive through. Maybe a Pizza Hut. I'm really not sure, but you know, I don't know. It was cheap, dirt cheap buffet pizza that wasn't CC's. I remember loving their mac and cheese.
Better than CC's?
Yeah, well, I liked it better than CC's. They had mac and cheese that was just straight up Kraft mac and cheese. They just made the back and
put
in there.
What's wrong with that?
Delicious. It was perfect for a guy that was just, you know, didn't, you know, he lived in a dorm, and, you know, I wasn't, the closest thing I could do was heat up those, you know, the single mac and cheese things, but it just wasn't the same. So that was what I loved about that place. But yeah, Gaddy's ruled. It's coming back. I doubt it'll be the same. I went to the one in Kentucky. It was not the same. So I'm going to throw one more thing in there. Being able to drive down thatch onto campus. Okay. It doesn't affect me, but as a student, that you stopped being able to do that while I was a student. And it was a total bummer because you couldn't get dropped off like right in front of Haley or anything like that. So.
A little bit of thatch you can go in, and they've even put guard booth up the last couple of years. But since I was in engineering, a lot of those engineering buildings are right there at Ross. I could just kind of get dropped off there. But it's been a lot of long nights in Ross.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So friend of the program at James Jones, he said tailgating in the quad. There was close to the stadium, and you didn't have to block off space on Friday night.
I can't believe I didn't say the Eagles Nest too.
A lot of people said the Eagles Nest. I was going to mention that later. I've tailgated in the quad with like a student organization that was doing it there or something. I mean, you know, that's not really like what you want out of a tailgate, but free food and, you know, close to stadium. I can imagine it'd be a lot more fun.
It's fun down there. It's fun down there on Black Alumni Weekend.
Yeah.
It's super fun down there. I've been down there a few times. It's good. It's good times.
And there was just kind of a lot of conversation about tailgating pre-tailgate guys or pre-white tents.
Yeah.
I never really got that experience because by the time I was a student, it was white tents are all over the green space, a couple other areas. But what was it like before that? Was it you just get there first thing Saturday morning or?
No. People would come Wednesday and start like blocking off stuff for themselves, and there's a little give and take there. The white tent stuff. I think the white tents look awful. I would love.
They make a lot of money for the university, I imagine.
I would love if they would not have white tents. If they were orange and blue, or blue and white, or you know, different colors.
Just kind of mixed up a little bit.
Yeah, not just all white, I think, looks terrible, tacky even, I would say, even though it costs a lot of money to rent one of those. It was a different thing. I mean, the way tailgating worked when I first got here and before when I used to come down here, it slowly eroded over those 30 or so years. You know, you could park wherever you wanted to park, and you could just pull up wherever, whenever, and start tailgating.
Did that include the RVs? Because I saw a lot of people talking about RVs being near campus, and now they're just kind of pushed off to the side.
Yeah, you could have an RV. I mean, you could literally park wherever you wanted to park, and that stopped right about the time I got to Auburn. They started saying places where you could and couldn't park, and each year they cut off more of that. And tailgating was just a different thing. It was less corporate, I guess, than it is now. And it interestingly, you would think they would, I guess it makes sense that it's gone that way, because only people with that kind of money can afford to go to the game anyway. Like, a regular family can't go to games now, really. I mean, it's nearly $100 to go to just a regular, like, not big game. So,
even the individual games right now, I took a look on StubHub just to see what they were going for.
Yeah.
And mind you, a lot of this is like, we just announced full capacity.
Right. Special circumstances.
Do you have any idea what the Georgia ticket was, for example? Just the minimum in the door?
I'd say $400.
Yeah, you're not getting the door with that. $525.
Jesus.
The Auburn at Penn State game.
Oh.
I've already got a flight going up there. Tickets were up near $600.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It has to come down. You got to think.
Yeah. That's unofficially our buddy Golson's 40th birthday weekend. It's not really, it was supposed to kind of be that weekend, and now it's like a weekend after or something. But he really wants to go, and man, those prices. I'm just like, dude, I don't know.
I'm happy I booked my flight ahead of time.
Well, I looked into a flight like this time last year. And I could have gotten one for like $200 round trip. Now it's way up there, but Golson wants to drive.
Hotels and Airbnbs are through the roof too.
Dude, my buddies did find.
Luckily, I booked mine right before, some of the restrictions were coming up. So
yeah.
I think I could, if it doesn't work out, I think I could change my flight with Delta.
A friend of mine found a Airbnb about an hour away for $150.
Oh wow!
Yeah, he's thinking about doing it. I don't know. My wife doesn't really want me to go, so I probably won't be going anyway. Definitely going to South Carolina though. That one's happening this year. But that takes us a long way away from our subject of at hand here.
I'm going to guess on the pronunciation, Naumann Eric, N-A-U-M-A-N-N. As far as game day related, I missed the Phil Neal artwork tickets. I know it's a small thing, but evokes a lot of strong memories from my youth. It's a really good answer.
I just missed tickets. We don't get tickets.
Yeah, everything's anymore. Oh, now. But even before that, I mean, it was just like a generic Auburn logo,
right,
on cardstock. So I never felt like a strong reason to hang on to tickets, just because they all look exactly the same, I guess. But
I got a giant.
Yeah, those old artwork ones. Like, I've seen a calendar of the Phil Neal programs.
Yeah,
I'm sure the tickets look pretty similar. Yeah, it's a good answer there. At Rusty Grace, the Eagles aviary between Haley Center and Parker Hall on what is now called the Green. Great to walk to class and see the Eagle every day. Yeah, a lot of people have the same sentiment there. I think I only saw the Eagles nest maybe twice. By the time I started coming to a lot more games, it was already gone as they were building the new student center.
Yeah.
But it was there when you were in school, right?
Was not the whole time. The student center was built. Student center opened, I want to say the spring after I graduated in December.
That makes sense. I think it was around 2008. So
there was a giant hole there in the middle of that was a hindrance to my last 2 years of school. Basically, everywhere I needed to be.
Empty green space, the student center?
Say what now?
What was it, the student center, before they cleared that out?
It was just the green space there. The Eagles nest was over there on the hill, and there it was just a green space where the transit drop off is. There was that wasn't there,
right? Because the Eagles nest is where the bus station is, right?
Yeah, more or less. It was pretty much. It was right outside the stadium,
like there. Right by the box office, big AU sign at the yard line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. It's pretty cool to have a live mascot like that and something you could go look at just anytime. But it was not there for very long when me and some of the other guys from the site were in school. They moved them out where they are now, which I believe is on Wire Road, but I am not sure.
Where that would make sense. Have you been out to the Raptor show before?
I haven't.
Yeah, I didn't know
they did a show.
I think my nephew, I guess back in 2019, he was still a little too young to kind of get it, but I'm wanting to take him this fall.
I didn't know they did a show.
Every Friday for game days.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. I have to say, they'll do a couple with the different Raptors they've got, and then I think you can get your picture made with the eagle and everything. Oh, man. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Let's see. So another one I thought was interesting, and I'm curious how long ago he was here. At Rodfile 45 said rent for $150 a month.
Oh my gosh.
I just got to update me because even Ridgewood rent was $250 a month when I was here. So.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, my half of the rent on my little apartment where one of those giant skyscrapers is off of Glen and Wright Street there was $275, and that was 2003. So $150, man. I guess that's my dad was probably kind of thinking, he's like, why are you, how are you paying this much money? This is way too much money. I guess he was sort of thinking of the $150 type rent. So, at the time, $275 was pretty good for Auburn. It wasn't trailer park money, but it was good for an apartment, especially one within walking distance.
Yeah. So I've got a sister in high school right now, and she's looking at coming to Auburn, and out of state is crazy expensive. So she may end up living with me for a couple of years. Just I mean, we were looking at like apartment costs, walking distance from campus now. It is obscene charging for those new skyscrapers.
Yeah, I just saw that where they built a bunch of them over there where the Bird apartments were. Bird One is still there. Buddy of mine lived in those apartments his freshman year, which was my senior year in high school, and I hadn't been over there in quite a while, and I was shocked to see that they're almost done with this giant parking deck that's as big as any apartment buildings and apartment buildings to match. It was crazy.
They're building a Publix downtown now?
Yeah, I sort of knew that was coming.
I'm curious. A grocery downtown is not a bad idea if you have that many apartments, but I'm curious how that's going to work with traffic on Gay right there, because it's already a nightmare.
I've always wondered, they've been trying to do a apartment or a grocery store downtown for a long time now. Now it makes more sense than it did 5-10 years ago when they were first talking about trying to do it. I mean, that was part of the plan with what was going to go at Quixote's for a while. I think the city had this big plan with where Quixote's and the hotel was, and then stuff fell through. It's weird stuff. Building projects in a city, things fall through all the time. There was supposed to be one somewhere else. Oh, where the parking deck is. Downtown, there was supposed to be
one. The new one?
No, the old
one. I guess there's two new ones now. But.
The old one. It was supposed to be a grocery store of some sort. I'm not a city guy, so it just never made sense for reasons like you stated with parking and stuff and traffic. And this town is not built for all this stuff. Pardon me while I go off on a little bit of a riff. Traffic is awful in this town because it's a town that is built for 15,000 people to live in it, and there are at times probably 90,000 people living here, and its residency is like 64,000, 65,000 at this point.
Plus university.
But yeah, so plus, and then you add the university and everything with that on top of it. So it, the infrastructure of this town is just not built for this, and there's not a whole lot they can do, and they don't seem to want to do a whole lot about it or even be attempt to.
Yeah, it has definitely surprised me with all the development they've been doing that at least four laning, most of those roads downtown hasn't been part of it.
Right.
And I know that's, it's difficult to do, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they can't College Street in the middle of town, but I don't want to be the, oh, they're changing my town kind of thing, but it's just like, I don't know what they're thinking, because I don't know how long they can make all this stuff work, because it's kind of like putting Band-Aids on it. And at least now they're putting, you know, parking decks downtown, which they should have done a long time ago. So,
yeah, I mean, as a younger person in Auburn, like I didn't come to Auburn a bunch growing up. And so I've really only seen Auburn the past decade or so consistently. And I don't mind a lot of the changes that you're making. It's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of people of, oh, they're changing my town. I don't want anything over two stories, pretty much.
Yeah. And you can't, that's a little outdated. Yeah. You can't just expect the town to stay like it is. I mean, every town that's ever tried to do that just dies. I mean, you can see.
I mean, if you talk, people that were here in the 80s, they'll tell you there were no restaurants downtown. I guess the Burger King went in, there's Tumors, and there's, you know, Santa Fe's. And then other than that, like, it was just offices or whatever was there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, downtown didn't even expand out anywhere close to where it is now.
No. I mean, this was true. It until probably late 90s, this is still just a small town. And I think what some people probably struggle with is that they think of it like that, but it hasn't been that for nearly 30, well, at least 20 years now. I mean, it just hasn't been. And yeah. Their solution while I was in school here was to start building apartments really far away, like all the big apartment complexes. And you know, there's smaller ones spread around town, and there's the ones down Longleaf, stuff like that. And you know, that made sense. There's a lot of land here in Auburn, and expanding out makes sense. But you know, you move people further away from campus, and it creates other problems. It creates more traffic that you have to deal with coming in and out of downtown. Whereas if you do this, where you build all these places for people to live downtown, and you you know, you build the infrastructure for them, like the grocery store, then you alleviate some of that traffic stuff. And I think maybe that's probably a good solution, better solution than, well, anything they've tried up to now, I suppose.
So. Yeah, to your point, I think it works a lot better if they can fill out these apartment buildings with students. That benefits everybody, I think, especially better than having, you know, several thousand students driving to campus every day.
Yeah.
You can have walking. I'm afraid they might be pricing some of them out.
Yeah, that's the issue. But I guess, I mean, the more loans and stuff that are given, handed out, then, and the more people that are arguably foolish enough to just take a bunch of loans to go to school.
I guess it's just likely that those people are going to be the students, not, you know, a 28-year-old taking out a loan to live downtown.
right. No, I don't think there'll be that. Surely not. I think you're insane if you're not in school and you're trying to live in for that kind of money, or you just hate money, maybe. But you know, who knows what we'll see.
definitely not 150 a month, put it that way.
Yeah, yeah. To bring it back around, we're not going to see any rent like that. Even if they can't sell these things, we're not going to see anything even close to what I paid. And what the expensive things were when I was in school, I don't think we'll ever see that again. So
we had a couple of responses just about Jordan Hare in general, whether it was the Jumping Tiger scoreboard.
Oh yeah.
The noise meter was a popular one. Again, things I don't really have a ton of experience with. So maybe we can talk to those.
The Jumping Tiger scoreboard is the greatest thing that was ever in that stadium. And I'll be forever mad that they got rid of it. Tiger Eyes, I can do without Tiger Eyes. The thing I thought was
that
so...
Was that on the north end zone or the south end zone?
I always get the...
Opposite of the Jumbotron or where it is?
Yeah, opposite. Jumping okay. Tigers were...
So I don't understand why they didn't leave that there then. Because like I get needing to put a video board on... to make it a modern stadium. Retro one too.
I'm sure I'll get corrected on this. I think it was removed when we went to using Tiger Eyes for everything.
Ah.
Because the Jumping Tiger logo is no longer in vogue. So
is Tiger Eyes the least favorite Auburn logo?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm wondering if it's going to make like its retro run in 15
years. It seems to be making a comeback now, and I'm not. Yeah.
It still feels like, oh, this is like just a decade old. And it's more than that now. But
well, and for you, it would have been the major logo when you first encountered Auburn, probably, right?
It was on a lot of stuff, and it's just. I don't know. Even at that point, I already liked the Jumping Tiger, the Eagle through the A, and all that stuff.
I really liked the Tiger Eyes when we first did it, which is like
it feels very mid 2000s.
It was 1998, I believe. We did that at the exact same time that Alabama updated their logo to sort of a similar deal. And I always wondered if it was the same like company, the same PR company,
that did them
both. It was, like a new era. Funnily enough, that was the era that we were arguably we're definitely the most successful team in the state. We beat them a ton, but it's the logo, the most dated looking of any of the logos, which is just funny. I have noticed
it may have its retro run, but it never worked for me. So
I have noticed it's showing up on a lot of stuff lately. I had a Tiger Eyes logo vinyl sticker on my Jeep Cherokee.
I did have a hat that I really liked for a while. It was a Navy hat, Tiger Eyes logo, and on the brim it was orange instead of Auburn on it. That was like my middle school hat.
my hat that I had in high school had the Tiger Eyes on the back of it.
So there were some other comments. Like, there was some people in favor of the orange face masks.
Buddy. Bring back the drop shadow. That's what I want.
Drop shadow. So there's a lot of different restaurants and things around town people like. But I think probably the best answer we got, and again, not a rare one. There's a couple responses with it. It was a supper club. R.I.P. the supper club. I never got to go.
Oh, that's. I'm going to say something controversial. You
didn't like it?
You didn't miss anything. Unless you really love dive bars.
That was the point. It was like, it wasn't great, but.
Yeah, I did see the Velcro Pygmies there once. It was pretty fun. Yeah. Most people's memories are tied to being so drunk they didn't really remember it. There is what I would suggest.
So has it been replaced by Fat Days?
Oh God, You know, here's the thing with Fat Daddies. I used to, it's bizarre to me that it has become the late night, supper club replacement, because it was the diviest of dives that I would go to with my fellow retail employees and do karaoke with on Thursday nights. It's weird. I don't know. It's weird that it is what it is now. Sad that Supper Club is gone, because it was there forever. It was a rite of passage for so many to have gone to it. And that's sad. It's always sad to, I'm a sentimental person, so it's always sad to me to lose something like that.
It's fairly well known as, oh, that's an Auburn thing.
Yeah. And, I think we're probably only 10 years from that, nobody even really mentioning it in Auburn. Whereas.
Yeah, all the old people talk about it at the tailgate.
Right. Whereas Chris Fowler, mentioned it on game day. And, it's not, it's not gonna happen again. And I don't think.
The next generation for not knowing.
Sorry, you broke up, Ryan.
Yeah, you get a little shoddy on your end too. I said it's going to be what you guys make fun of me for not knowing. That's what I'll get to do with Supper Club for the next generation.
yeah, you don't know about Supper Club.
I'll have to mention that I was 19 when it closed, but any other things that blast the past nostalgia for Auburn?
I'm trying to think.
Being able to walk into Beard Eves was no line.
Yeah, I never experienced that as a student. That's for sure. I'll say something I don't miss is the wristbands they used to give out for student entrance rather than just having a card. It was awful, and it was the thing until they were still giving out wristbands, but that was
never had wristbands. I had United card.
That was for block seating that I'm thinking of in 2010. Oh, okay. They stopped doing wristbands. God, I can't remember if that was while we were in school. It was while I was in school. You could just swipe your Tiger card. Maybe the year after, shortly thereafter, at least by 2010, they were doing the Ignited cards instead of your Tiger card.
They actually went back this year to combining the Tiger and Ignited card.
Oh, that's smart.
Really always split in the first
really
place.
Really dumb. Somebody got paid a lot of money to split it up, I'm sure, to make that decision. Yeah, I don't miss the wristbands. You got a wristband to go in is basically what it was. It's been so long now, I can't remember exactly the process. But that was annoying. Technology had not quite advanced yet to the point where it is now, obviously, where you can just swipe a card and get in. So I want to say you still had to swipe your card. It was really dumb thing.
Two factor before there was two factor.
Yeah, right. I miss the small town feel of Auburn. I would be remiss to not mention Bodega. That's one that I can't believe was not in the replies, and I think of it more fondly than I think of Supper Club. So
it was the Vault when I got here. Was it Bodega right before that?
Yeah, it was Bodega. It got bought by the people that own Moe's. It was something else a long time ago. I don't remember what it was before it was Bodega. But it was Bodega going back to when I was in high school and coming here. Because I remember thinking, that's the coolest bar in town. I want to be able to go there. And it was Bodega until 2005? No, it would have been 2007 or 8, probably. The person that had owned it sold, and the people that own Moe's Southwest Grill and another gentleman that was pretty well known in the bar scene around Auburn purchased it. He purchased a minority stake in it, and he ran it for him, basically. And that was the Vault. And the Vault was open, I guess it lasted, 10 years?
Yeah, it closed around 20... Well, it was empty for a couple of years, but I think the Vault closed like 2013 or 14.
Okay. Well, and as you may have noticed, most everyone of a certain vintage still call it Bodega the whole time. So, yeah, it was cool. And, you know, it closed down, and it's a property that's... I mean, that's coveted real estate there. And it would be hard for anyone to offer the kind of money that maybe a chain or something else like that could offer to rent that space. So,
Guy Bar 2.
Yeah, it's, yeah, right. No, Pat and Dan would not, they would not be allowed to purchase that or set up shop there.
Do we need to be careful about what we say here?
I can just say that with some certainty. They don't own that, and we'll leave it at that. But now it's going to be something else. Cool. So maybe people will be happier now that it's not going to be a pizza chain. So I think everyone knows what it's going to be, right?
That's public.
Yeah, okay. You don't have to. No. But public knowledge, it's going to be Whataburger. Yeah. It'll be a chain burger place, but, you know, whatever.
A chain that Auburn doesn't have yet, at least. So.
Yeah, well, and one that we've coveted. Like, we finally checked Krispy Kreme off the want list. We checked Hooters off while I was in school, and that was a miserable failure. And then we checked Krispy Kreme off after it – being rumored to come here for literally since I started school here. It only took them like 15 years. And now we're getting Whataburger. So.
All right. Well, I think that's all we got. We're coming up on almost an hour. It's an off season. I'll be out next week. I don't know if you and Crow are taking it on or we'll just take another vacation week.
I guess we should just say off season it could be a little spotty. Don't give up on us. Don't unsubscribe. We'll still be here.
We'll read a book. Don't listen to us all summer.
Just go back if you're gonna have to do like I have to do and go back and listen to all five of the previous Supernova in the East so you can remember what where you're at and then listen to the current five hour 45 minutes, I believe, is what I just saw when I looked at the old podcast.
That should get you to the poll.
Yeah. Right. If you were interested in our Star Wars discussion, I can recommend a Star Wars podcast, Rebel Force Radio. It's a good pod. Check that out. They do a breakdown of Bad Batch every week. You got any pod recommendations, Ryan?
Let's see what I'm listening to right now. We haven't brought it up tonight, so I think we're need to do our Auburn Observer plug.
Oh, yeah, the Observer podcast.
Let's see.
I can't believe he resisted going with the Observer, just straight up that being the name of it.
I'm glad he didn't. That's too easy.
Easy, but.
Let's see. Yeah, Split Zone Duo, great college football podcast from the National. Perspective. When the Braves win, I like listening to Talking Chop. Kind of depressing the last couple weeks.
There's always the Hawks.
Yeah. So Crow called me a Fairweather or a Bandwagon Hawks fan, and he's not wrong. I did not watch any Hawks games last 5 years or so. But it's fun in the playoffs, and I like giving him a hard time about Trey having more playoff wins than Luka does.
Aww. So. Yeah, I'd like to know what happened with the Mavs this year and when they're actually going to be good with that generational talent they have. But he's not here to answer that question. So,
Hawks won the trade. All right.
Oh, man, he'll never live it down if the Hawks go to the finals.
They play like they did the night against the Sixers. They won't. But.
Well, all right.
Have a worrying weekend. Yeah.